Sean Mize here for a coaching call today. And today I'm going to dig deep on the topic of coming up with your unique angle in your business. So we're going to talk about coming up with your unique angle in your business. So one of the things that I think is just critical when you're building out your online business is coming up with something that will personal, unique angle, the thing that makes you different. And, you know, so many times in the past we've talked about this from the perspective of coming up with something that makes you dominate or something that makes you an expert across the board. And sometimes that feels uncomfortable. Some of you are uncomfortable trying to dominate a particular niche area. Some of you are uncomfortable feeling like you have to have the big idea. Some of you are uncomfortable feeling like you have to be the expert. And so what I'm going to do with you today is share with you really the process that I've used in my business to, you know, get my business to the place that it is now, focusing on and developing that unique angle principle. So this idea of saying, where is the need and how can I meet that need in really a unique fashion? So can I, what is my unique angle? What is my unique fashion? And what's it going to take for me to be able to position in that way and to be able to change lives uniquely and differently than perhaps others are changing lives? And you know, I think that if you've been following me for a while, you know, you read my emails and you read the posts that you're sent, you get this sense over time, you likely get this sense over time, that I uniquely understand what's going on with you personally. Okay, and obviously for some of you, if I talk with you personally, then yeah, of course, I uniquely and personally understand. When you're building a business, I'm building a business, you have thousands of prospects and leads, you certainly don't talk with everyone in such a way that you're able to uniquely and personally understand. And I'm specifically using that personally twice, because if we're talking with them personally, then not only do we get it, but we really get it for that one person. The question is, how am I, or how are you, able to create such an angle online, such a persona online, that your unique angle, your unique positioning is such that when people read your emails, when they read your sales letters, when they read your blog posts, when they read your articles, when they watch your videos, they're able to think, wow, you are the only person that exactly understands what's going on with me. And you see, when you create that kind of a bond, people want to buy from you. They want to buy from you as opposed to buying from someone else, because they want to buy from the person that understands them. And here's the psychology of it. If they believe that you understand them, and you tell them that you're going to help them solve their problem, they believe that you're going to be able to solve their problem. And if they believe that you're going to be able to solve their problem, they'll then buy from you. And to me, that's one of the big keys to conversion, to increasing conversion. Because to me, conversion is based on trust. It's not based on the words on a sales page. It's based on trust. And if you create that trust in your email campaign, if you create that trust because you have a unique angle, and then everything else flows from that, the words that you use on an email, the words that you use in a sales letter, you don't even have to use special words. They will just flow naturally out of you simply because you understand your unique angle. So with that said, let's go ahead and dig in. Here's the thing. I believe that in order to maximize profit and grow fast, you want a unique angle in your niche area. You want a unique angle in your niche area. Okay. So here's the thing. What happens is a lot of times, I think that when folks say, well, there's a certain particular topic that I want to teach on, and so to get ideas on what to teach on, I'm going to go look at the top 10 people teaching online, and I'm just going to teach whatever they're teaching, and I'm going to try to teach it better, or I'm going to try to teach it cheaper, or I'm going to try to teach it in a more modern way. And what happens is you're just competing at the same exact point that everybody else is competing at. You know, it's kind of like if there's 8 coffee shops within an 8-block radius of your house, and somebody comes in and says, I'm going to put one more in. Are you really going to increase business in the neighborhood? Probably not. You're going to get a small part of the business in the neighborhood, and unless you're really, really, really special, you're probably not going to increase. You're probably not going to be able to do better than any of the other coffee shops that are already in place. And so that's what happens. There's these niche areas online, and whatever area that you're in a niche area. And it's easy to say, well, what are other people doing? If other people are doing it, it must be successful, so I'll just copy what they do. It's like that coffee shop situation where you say, okay, well, there's 8 coffee shops. They must be doing really well, so I'll make another one. I want you to think about something when it comes to the coffee shops. What if you were to go around and you were to look at all the coffee shops and you were to try to find out what was wrong with the picture? Maybe you talked with a few people in the coffee shops and you said, hey, if there was one more thing you could have with your coffee, you know, what would it be? One person would say, I'd love to have some eggs. And somebody else would say, I'd love to have some bacon. And somebody else might say, you know, I'd like to have some donuts. And you go, oh, wow, how many breakfast joints are there in the neighborhood? Oh, there's only one. There aren't any breakfast joints. Well, if enough people are buying from 8 different coffee shops, we got a lot of people that are getting up early in the morning. There's no breakfast around. So then you go, okay, create breakfast. Here's what happens is, if you're always looking for an opportunity by looking at what other people are doing, you miss the opportunities that you can't see if you're only looking at what other people are doing. You have to look behind the scenes. You have to look to the place where you say, I'm going to go deeper, and I'm going to look behind the scenes and say, what are people not doing? Okay, now I'm going to give you a warning and a caveat here. Just because people aren't doing it doesn't mean that if you do it, it's going to work. I mean, there's a few things that have to go in here. One, you got to think through it logically. Is there a logical reason why this would work? Okay, so if you go, oh, nobody has hot wings at 7 o'clock in the morning, you go, well, just because nobody has hot wings, I'm going to do hot wings at 7 o'clock in the morning. Odds are they're not going to sell. Why? Well, if you just logically think about it and you say, well, do people like hot wings in the morning? No, generally people don't like hot wings in the morning. You go, okay, well, that'd be a really bad idea. Okay, now, and we're going to look at, I'm going to give you another offline example. You could test that. You could test it. You could get a license from the city to have a 1-week little van. And you could rent a van for a week. You say, well, it'd be really expensive to rent a van for a week. Well, it's a whole lot better than building a whole shop and finding it doesn't work, right? So you invest in a van for a week, and you have hot wings at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you test it. And you could even test it really cheap. You could have half-price hot wings. And you could just do whatever it takes to sell hot wings in the morning. And if the van, you put the van out there, and you have hot wings, and nobody buys, what does that tell you? Probably a bad idea. Now, if on the other hand, you test your idea and a lot of people buy, then instead of going out and building a whole restaurant, you know, maybe you find some space in the town that is vacant. It's vacant. Nobody really wants it. And so you go talk to the proprietor and you say, I'm not looking for a long-term lease, but hey, you haven't had anybody in that spot for 2 months or for 2 years. And I just take it for 90 days. And if somebody rents it between now and then, I'll skedaddle. Just give me 2 days notice and I'll be gone. Will you rent it to me for 3 months? And they say, yeah. And you do a test. You do hot wings for 3 months and you see what happens. If it does well, great. You expand. You talk to them about extending your lease. You go get another lease somewhere else. Well, it's exactly the same way online. Okay? So you find out, you say, okay, all of these people are teaching the exact same thing. When you look at the top 10 teachers in your niche area and the table of contents is almost the same, it's almost like they copied from each other. So one way to go, well, that's really working. Here's the question. since they're obviously all just kind of competing with each other and copying each other and doing the same thing, is it possible that they're just really missing some needs in the marketplace? Is it possible? It's likely they're missing some needs in the marketplace. And here's what I've discovered, or what I've realized, is that when people follow people and create software companies or create information companies or create coaching companies, and you find a niche area where people are just copying success and copying success and copying success, the things that are really important start just getting ignored and ignored and ignored at a deeper and a deeper and a deeper level. I personally believe that we're at a time on the internet that it's been so profitable for so long, and there's been so many Me Too people, and it's been so easy for people to copy, that the copied stuff is starting to get saturated, and that the holes in the marketplace are growing bigger and bigger, probably perhaps bigger than they've ever been before. And so the next step, of course, is to find what those are. There's a couple of different ways that you can do this to kind of find that unique angle. One is to solve a problem that nobody else is solving, or they're not solving it where people can find out about it. Okay, so what happens a lot of times is folks like you will come along and you go, well, I see there's a huge problem in the marketplace. And people tell you there's a huge problem. Your clients tell you that there should be more training. But then you go to Google and you spend half an hour hunting a solution, and you find a solution. You find a solution. You say, oh, there's already a solution out there, so I don't need to create one. Here's the thing. Are most prospects going to take half an hour hunting for that solution when they don't even know it's there? You see, you think it's there because you know the industry. But your prospect doesn't know the industry. Your prospect is hurting and needs help and doesn't know the industry. Because you've been in the industry for 2 or 3 years trying to get your feet wet and trying to copy what other people are doing, you know what's out there. So you know there's an obscure little product that nobody knows about hiding on some server somewhere to solve the problem. Okay, now, obviously, you could say, okay, well, the solution's already out there. You could say, well, for that solution, let me just talk to the owner of the solution and see if they'll give me a 50% cut for just telling everybody I know about it. So that'd be one way to do that, right? Or you could say, I'm going to use that as my test. Remember we talked about the hot wing test, and you rent a van for a week, or you borrow some unused space for 90 days? Well, you do the same thing here. You send affiliate traffic over there and see if it converts. See if people are telling you they need that solution. You found someone else that has created a solution, and now you send people over there for 90 days and see what the conversion rates are. And you can see the conversion rates based on what they're paying you, even if there aren't good tracking stats in place. Usually there are, but even if there aren't, you can say, well, I sent 1,000 people over there that said they had a problem, and, you know, 3 people bought. Well, I guess the problem's not as big as we think. Of course, it could be just a lousy sales page. It could be that there's no trust involved, so you got to really think about that. You got to dig in. Or if it sells really, really well, then now you've got another conundrum. You say, okay, well, am I just going to continue? Wow, I'm just converting so well, just sending people over there as an affiliate. You know, I'll just keep doing that. Or you could say, well, I could make twice the money if I were to go out there and create my own unique solution. And instead of sending people over there to the affiliate item, I'll send them to my own product. And then you can double up, because some people, for some reason, they won't buy your product. So if they don't buy your product after 10 days, then you still send them over to the affiliate item and you double up your revenue. Okay. Or you say, I just believe in this so strongly, I don't even want to involve the affiliate, and I'm going to create a product. I just believe this problem is so bad that I'm just going to create the product, and I'm going to sell it to the people that have been telling me it's a problem. So that's one way to kind of deal with this issue, is to, if someone is already solving the problem, find out if solving that problem is what people are really looking for, and there's lots of different ways to test it, or if nobody is solving the problem, or if the person solving the problem is really operating out of a cave and nobody knows about it and you don't want to tell people about it, then create your own solution and that's your unique angle. Okay, now, if other people are solving the problem, and it's quite obvious that people are solving the problem, and people are even buying trainings on how to solve the problem, and yet people are still telling you they still have the problem, what does that mean? It means that the way that people are teaching it is not solving the problem. So if you go out there and you just copycat the way that people are teaching it, you're not going to solve the problem either. You may think that you do. You say, well, yeah, I should just take 20 lessons and people will solve the problem. But 10 other people have 20 lesson programs solving the same problem and people still have the problem. What does that mean? It's not working. It's not working. You need to find a new way to solve the problem. You're going to find a new way to solve the problem, whether do make better lessons, make simpler lessons, find out what's wrong. Is it possible that in your particular niche area, just having lessons isn't enough? Like, it's impossible for people to learn whatever it is in that solves their problem without some kind of communication, whether that's, you know, coaching, whether that's mentoring, whether that's Q&A, whether that's being able to talk to other people, you know, whatever the case is, what do people need? Or maybe people just need a checklist for accountability. So you create a checklist for accountability, add it to the training, and wow, now people are getting results. So you got to think outside the box. Here's the bottom line, though. If people continue to have a problem in your niche area, if they continue to express that they're having a problem and that it's hard to find a solution, people are looking for an answer, and what is out there isn't working. And so if you create something that's different that you can test, and just because you create something that's different doesn't mean that it's going to work, but you could create something different every month until you figure out what's going to work, and then you will own the solution. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of times your competitors won't even realize that you're doing a better job converting than they are, as long as you don't brag about it, because they think of you as an upstart. They think of you, they look at your sales copy and they're like, that's lousy. That can't possibly be converting, you know, because it's not using all of the latest jazz and the latest highlighting and all the latest words, but it actually communicates with human nature. And so folks are choosing to purchase from you. What's even better is because they get results, they stop buying other training from the competition and they start buying everything from you. Of course, that's where you say, okay, well, I'm going to continue to solve problems in my niche area. Once you solve one problem, you go to solve another problem, and you solve another problem, and you solve another problem. You're not setting out to become an expert, but people begin to believe that you're an expert because every month you're solving a new problem for them. Okay, so how do you get to that place? How do you find these problems? I'm going to give you some suggestions, and I want to let you know that this is not some straight line linear process where it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If it was, I could just give it to you and we could be done. You could go out there and do it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It does require a little bit of detective work, you know, and if I don't know if you read mysteries or you watch detective stories online or you watch them on the television, you probably discovered that the detective work isn't exactly the same for every problem. I mean, you might start out the same, but once you start to get the clues, you have to go in different directions based on what those clues are. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some guidelines, but then you've got to think of yourself as a detective and be really serious about solving the problem. I want to bring up the elephant in the room. But this isn't even the elephant in the room. This is like the dark bat in the cave. I mean, seriously, what I'm getting ready to share with you is like the dark bat in the cave. Sometimes I will give this instruction to some people, and they'll spend an hour on it and tell me that they didn't come up with much. Now, an hour might sound like a really long time. You know, an hour would be a really long time to wait for your coffee pot in the morning. An hour would be a really long time to wait for somebody to get out of the shower because it's your turn. You know, an hour would be a really long time to sit at a stoplight. The people that usually tell me this are people that are spending 20 to 30 hours a week trying to figure things out online and have been doing so for 3 years. So 20 hours a week times 50 weeks is 1,000 hours a year times 3 years. Folks that tell me that the hour that they spent is too long to try to figure this out and there must be an easier way have already spent 3,000 hours trying to figure it out in other myriads of ways. Now, wouldn't it be worth it for that person to put 10 or 20 or even 40 hours into the detective work so that they can save themselves the next 3,000 hours of their life? Now, that's my opinion. And I'll tell you, there are some times when I literally spent 3, 4, 5, 10 hours in the past. And I spent hours and hours and hours in the past sometimes just doing research. And this isn't helter-skelter, you know, getting distracted research. This is what I'm getting ready to share with you right now. I do the research and I dig deep. And, you know, sometimes you spend 3 hours and you only find one little clue. And it's easy to think that that's a waste of time. But when you put the clues together and you do the hard work that nobody else is willing to do, you're able to corner. There's a dominating kind of word there that scares people off, but I'm going to use it anyway. You're able to corner the market for your unique angle because you've done the research that nobody else was willing to do. So I'm going to give you the steps. Keep in mind, they're not linear. They're not, you don't have to do them exactly this way, but you do have to do them with the goal in mind and come up with a solution. First thing you've got to do, step one, is to find the problems. You've got to get involved. You have got to get involved in your niche area. And you don't have to have a list to do it. Obviously, a list is useful, but you don't have to have a list to do it. But you've got to get involved. Let me ask you this. What would happen if you looked at 100 sites in your niche area every single day just to find people that have been asking a question in the last 24 hours, and you find a way to get in touch with them? What if you just tried to find a way to get in touch with them? You said, I'm going to look for one person on each of 100 sites every day that has asked a question about my topic. That has asked a question on a website about my topic. Any question, you know, where can I find training? How do I do this? How do I do that? What's going on with this? Even if it's not exactly related to your problem, if it's in your niche area, and then get in touch with the person. You say, well, Sean, how would I get in touch with the person? Well, on the website, many times you can just contact them directly. They've asked a question. They're usually asking it as a blog comment, or they're asking it as a in a group, or they're asking it in a forum. If they've just asked the question, a lot of times you can communicate directly, you know, right there, right exactly there. And that's usually, I would say that that's probably the easiest way to do it. And, you know, if you're able to do that with 100 people every single day, people that have asked a question within the last 12 hours, I don't know, you probably have 30, 40% chance that they'll respond. That means you're going to have 30 to 40 people in a single day responding. Those are 30 to 40 prospects right there that are responding to you. And you're going to help them with whatever the challenge is. And then, you know, you're just going to ask them, hey, I've just got a curious question for you. What is the biggest problem you've been trying to solve in regards to whatever it is? Maybe half of them ignore you, but I mean, if you know, there's something about give and take in this world, and if you've just given them some good information, half of the people are probably going to respond to you and tell you what that is. And you go over there and you write it down on a sheet of paper. In 5 days, you could have 100 people's responses on a sheet of paper if you just did this every day for 5 days. I mean, literally, you could do this. Now, if you took those same 100 sites, you know, some of them might be group sites, some of them might be forum sites, some of them might be blog sites, you know, all kinds of different sites, perhaps. But what if you were to say, okay, I'm going to be proactive, and in addition to looking for one person that's asked a question in the last 24 hours, I'm going to ask a question on each one of those websites. What is your biggest problem, or how can I help you, or how can I be of service? Not every site's going to respond every day, but what if only 30% of the sites, one person responded, and you generated one prospect that you could ask, what is your biggest challenge? And I noticed we're not talking about selling these prospects. We're talking about just doing market research to find out what these people need and that they're not able to find it. How do we know that they're not finding something? Because if all their needs were satisfied, they wouldn't be on these 100 websites asking questions. I mean, do you ask questions when you already know the answer? I don't tend to ask questions if I already know the answer. I mean, unless I'm coaching somebody, then I might. But I mean, just in normal life, you know, I don't look over to my wife and go, hey, where's the nearest gas station, when I know where the nearest gas station is. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask, you know, how long does it take to cook a turkey if I already know the answer. But if I don't know the answer, I ask the question. And so if I ask the question, what does that lead us to believe? Then I don't know the answer. And so folks are asking questions. They don't know the answer. And here's the thing. If they're even looking at the site, even if they're not asking questions, if they're just perusing the site, if they're just there, why are they there? Because they have questions. Why do you go to certain websites? Because you have questions. You know, you don't generally go to websites because you know everything. And you're like, yeah, I just want to look at some pretty pictures today. I mean, think about it. Why do you go to a news website? Well, you want to see what happened today. Why do you go to a training website? You want to see what's out there that's new. Why do you want to see what's out there that's new? Well, because the possibility exists that you're still looking for information. I hope I'm convincing you that if they're hanging out on the website, they need help. Okay? Now, the next step that you can do, is to say, okay, right in front of these prospects, doing market research, could I take this to another level? Now, I'm going to ask you this. What's the strongest form of market research? I've done an awful lot of this. But I wouldn't say an awful lot. They've done a lot of this when I got started in my business. It's just talking to people one-on-one. You know, if I get on the phone with 10 people one-on-one for 10 minutes apiece, and I dig deep and I ask them, what are you struggling with? And I say, well, isn't there training out there? I mean, I egg them on. I say, well, isn't there training out there about that? And they'll tell me, they go, yeah, I bought two of the trainings, and I studied them. I gave it my all. And I had a little question, and I tried to ask the owner, and they never responded to me. When you hear that 10 times, you go, oh, wow, that's why people aren't getting results. You could talk to them, and you can say, isn't there training out there? And they say, well, yeah, there is training out there, but it's all ridiculously expensive. You go, well, how much? Oh, it's $7,000 to learn that. You go, oh, wow, that is expensive. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it should be $200 or $300. And they say, yeah, if it was $200 or $300, I would have bought it. You got 10 people telling you they would have bought it if it was $200 or $300. You go create a training program, put it out there for $200 or $300 in 2 weeks. What happens? These people you talk to, what do? They buy. Seriously. You can talk to them personally. You know, and I'll tell you, some folks will say, well, you know, I don't really have much of a website. I don't have much of a giveaway, and I've spent 3 years trying to build my giveaway. Why not just offer a free 10-minute consult? Put your name and email address in, and here's a free 10-minute consult. Now you got the person's name and email address. They're loaded onto your autoresponder campaign, and you didn't even have to give a giveaway. All you did was a 10-minute conversation that was a fact-finding conversation for you. But they were just glad to be able to talk to somebody in the niche area and ask you a question or two, and it's an even exchange. You ask them about how hard it's been to solve their problems. They ask you a couple questions about the niche area. They build a relationship, and they're on your list. In a couple of weeks, when you put the product out, half the people buy. Now, they say, oh, Sean, I don't really want to talk to people personally. Okay, fine. Get them on your email list. Give them an opportunity to ask a question. So what you could do, instead of a standard squeeze page where you're giving away a thing, you could say, what is your squeeze page could just say, what is your biggest question about XYZ? Enter your name and email address and enter your question below. And you can do that in your autoresponder. You just create a web form that has a text box for a question. They type in their question and you email them. And you say, hey, I saw that you asked a question yesterday. I've got a few questions for you before I can intelligently answer. So you ask them a couple of questions. They answer the questions. You answer their question. And then you say, hey, by the way, what's your biggest problem? And a lot of times folks are going to go, wow, nobody's ever talked to me like this before. I mean, seriously, how many people do you see in your niche that are offering to answer a question for free as the squeeze page giveaway? Probably not very many. You find out what their unsolved challenge is. When you talk to 10 people, 20 people, 100, maybe you have to talk to 100 people to find out what the biggest unsolved challenges are, and you start creating products that solve those challenges, you're going to start making money. You're going to start making money. And the beautiful thing about this is you don't need thousands of subscribers to start making money. You can have in a week you could have 100 of these kinds of prospects, and in 2 weeks create a product and get 50 of them to buy it from you for $100 or $200 and have $5,000 or $10,000 come in a couple of weeks just because you're emailing people and talking to people. And you don't even have to have a giveaway for your squeeze page. Now notice, folks, I'm not telling you have to do it this way. You can still have a giveaway. You know, you could still offer 10-minute consults only to people that have taken the giveaway. But for some of you that don't even want to have a squeeze page, you could just say, hey, here, get in touch with me. Here's my Facebook page. And you could literally just have put your Facebook page as a response, and you just say, hey, you know, I'd be willing to talk to you for 10 or 15 minutes and help you solve this problem. Just hit me up on Facebook. You don't even have to have a squeeze page to do that. Hit me up on LinkedIn. Hit me up on Facebook. It's just that easy. And once they're on Facebook or LinkedIn, you give them your email address and you talk via email. And maybe after you bounce a couple emails back and forth, you say, hey, what do you say we just get on the phone? What's your phone number? And you just call them right then. You just call them. So what if it's long distance? That's cheap market research. Okay. So there you go. That's step one. We could stop right now. And for many of you, my guess is you've had some aha moments right now about how you can do market research and find out what the unsolved problem is in your niche and how you can really change things. But I'm going to give you a little bit more. I'm going to go into step two. I want you to think deeper. So, you know, we've kind of been talking about this from the perspective of finding one unsolved challenge. One. But what if in the process of talking to 100 people, you find there's 20 unsolved challenges in your niche? Now, that's messed up, isn't it? I mean, there's 10 experts out there teaching whatever it is that you teach. They've all got this big program they're selling. Why are there 20 unsolved challenges in your niche? There shouldn't be, should there? But there are. There's unmet challenges. Here's why. And I alluded to this earlier. People have been solving problems using these other criteria. And they end up leaving gaping holes. They end up leaving gaping holes in your niche area. Copycats copy and the hole gets bigger. Other people, your competition has been going in and opening up coffee shops in your neighborhood when there's not a need for them anymore. And the hole for donuts and eggs gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how it's going on in your niche. As business, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about how businesses are consolidating. You know, the bigger businesses keep getting bigger and bigger, and the smaller businesses are getting squeezed out. But the truth of the matter is, the smaller businesses that may be getting squeezed out, once they're all squeezed out, then there's all of a sudden in a whole lot of demand again for that smaller marketer. Exactly the same thing that's happening online, but instead of just in your neighborhood where there's a limited number of people that have your need, there's almost 8 billion people in this world, a percentage of whom, if it's a small percentage, need what you have and nobody else is solving it. There might be a million people that have that small little problem because the copycats have been copying. They've been copying outlines. They've been creating the same trainings as each other. There's gaping holes. Now, if you solve a behavioral problem, things get even worse. So what's a behavioral problem? So people eating too much, that's a behavioral problem. People getting diabetes because they eat too much sugar, that's a behavioral problem. People having relationship problems because they have an anger problem, that is a behavioral problem. People getting diseases because they smoke too much, that's a behavioral problem. People not being able to get along at work because they have a rage problem, that's a behavioral problem. So there's a lot of behavioral niches out there. In fact, most of you are probably in a behavioral niche. You help people with weight loss. You help people with communication. You help people. Even building businesses online is a behavioral issue. Okay? Most of the problems folks have in building a business online, you know, doesn't have to do with the information. It has to do with the accountability. It has to do with the discipline to get it done and to avoid the silver bullets and to avoid the bright, shiny objects. Those are discipline problems. They're behavioral problems. And so what happens is things get even worse because the people, the marketers out there that are trying to solve a behavioral problem to make money, they are split testing and optimizing for the most money, not for changing lives. When you optimize for the most money, let's say you teach on two topics and one product, one topic has a conversion rate that's twice the other product, you're only in it for the money, which one are you going to push? You're going to push the topic that makes the most money. And what that means is that there's going to be a lot of low-hanging fruit that maybe doesn't make as much money for the big marketer, but because it doesn't make money, they're not teaching it. They're not focusing on changing lives. They're focusing on optimizing profit. But if you go in there and change lives, you alter the industry. Can I say that again? If you change lives, you alter the industry. If you stop focusing on profit first and focus on changing lives first, people are going to see that. They're going to spend more of their money with you, and your profit is going to go up because you're changing lives, not because you're optimizing for the money first. I hope you really get that, because to me that's very, very important. If you focus on changing lives, you alter the industry. Okay? So there's a couple options here. One is you can solve one problem, then another, then another, then another. So there's 20 problems out there in your niche. You create a product that solves product number one this week. Next week, you create a product that solves problem number two. Next week, you create a product that solves product number three. You could just, in 50 weeks, you could have an e-commerce site with 50 products on it. Solves each product solves one problem. Say that 10 times fast. Talk about a tongue twister, products and problems. So, and literally in 50 weeks, you could have an e-commerce site with 50 problems solved. You could have a membership with 50 problems solved in that membership. You could have a coaching program with a lesson that goes out automatically every single week for 50 weeks. You could have a 50-week coaching program. And the beautiful thing about a membership or an e-commerce site or coaching program is you can start this week, solve the first problem first, and that's the first lesson in your membership. That's the first lesson in your coaching program. Another option is to solve a behavioral problem with an end-to-end solution. So the behavioral problems, the problems themselves might be theoretically taught, but most people can't solve behavioral problems by reading a book or buying a box of CDs. Most people can't lose weight by reading a book. Most people can't change their relationship habits reading a book. Most people cannot change their lives by reading a book. And so if you change lives, your competition is creating books and your competition is creating trainings, but they're not, they don't have an end-to-end solution that gives people accountability, that helps them keep track of their anger management, that helps them keep track of their weight, that helps them keep track of all of those kinds of things, that gives them an opportunity to ask questions, that gives them an opportunity to talk to an expert, and on and on and on. If you can solve the behavioral problem with an end-to-end solution, you might be able to be in a toll booth position in your niche area where other people are selling training, but you are selling an end-to-end solution that actually works. It goes back to changing lives. You alter the industry. By altering the industry, you make money. We could think about it in terms of filling the gap or filling the gaps over and over and over again. So we fill the gap. If there's one gap with one problem, you fill that gap. If there's 20 problems, you fill those gaps one at a time, one this week, one next week, one next week, one next week. And if the gap is an end-to-end problem where people need more than just the answers to the problem, they need help, fill that gap, an end-to-end solution that changes lives and you alter the industry. Now, in doing this, especially talking about an end-to-end solution where you solve people's total problem, they don't just need training. They also need accountability. They don't just need accountability. They also need to be able to keep track of their results. They don't just need to be able to keep track. They need to be able to ask questions. They don't just need to be able to ask questions. They need to be able to talk to experts. They don't just need to talk to experts. They need to be part of a group. They don't just need to be part of the group. They may need to be able to talk to a coach once a week. See, when you do all of those things together and you do it at scale, you're able to do what nobody else is doing. You're able to bring the entire solution all under one roof. Okay? You're able to make things easier by proposition simplifying. So instead of people having to go to 8 different websites to get 8 parts of their problem solved, they come to yours and get it all under one roof. It's what's called proposition simplifying. Now, what you can also do is price simplify. So price simplify says, and this is only if when in discovering the problems, remember we gave this hypothetical situation earlier where you talk to somebody and say, well, is there a solution out there? Well, yeah, there's a solution, but it's $2,000. Okay, so I'm going to give you a situation where there are solutions, but they're $2,000. You come in and say, in what way could I solve the same problem for $200? In what way could I solve the same problem for $20 and make up for it in volume? Because if 98% of the population out there is not buying the highest ticket because of the price, you're now able to capture 98% of the market by price simplifying. Now I want to take it to another level. I want you to imagine that you price simplify and you proposition simplify. So you change your industry. You change your industry by changing lives, by creating an end-to-end solution that solves a behavioral problem. Not only do you do what nobody else is doing, but you price it so low that the 98% of the market can afford it, and the other your other competitors won't be able to touch it. They won't even see you coming. They won't even see you as a competitor. And by the time they recognize you as a competitor, it's too late because you've already locked up the 98% of the market that's the lowest end of the market. You know, so many times people focus on this 80-20. So we're going to put 80% of our effort into the top 20% of the market. And then some people say, well, we're going to take another 80%, put the next 80% of our effort on the top 20% of the 20%. So really it becomes, I'm going to put 64% of my effort into 4% of the market, and I'm going to really rack up and make huge. What people don't realize is that when they do that, they leave the entire bottom of the market available. And we're not just talking the bottom 20% of the market. Notice that folks that are following that 80-20 principle of maximizing profit, they're not leaving the 20% behind. They're saying we're going to ignore the 80% that are at the bottom. Wow. That means that 80% of the market is available to you if you simply price simplify and say, we're going to create something that's affordable enough for the 80% of the market that's on the bottom. A lot of times we don't think about the bottom of the market being 80%. We think of it as being 10% or 20%. But think about capturing the bottom 80 or 90% of the market. The bottom 80 or 90% of the market. Okay, folks, I have this on my notes. This next thing on my notes is a possible third thing to talk about. And I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, let's do it. I want to give it to you. I want it all right here in one training. What you do next. So I don't want to confuse anything I've already given you. I want that to be solid, and hopefully you'll act on it, and you've had great aha moments, but don't let what I'm getting ready to share with you eclipse that. But when it's all said and done, you got to name it. You got to name what you do. What happens is a lot of times when folks name things, they name it with a big, long set of words that's confusing for people to remember. You're noticed how some of the best brands out there, Coke, Apple, Microsoft, are really short words. Amazon, Yahoo, Google. They're short, easy to remember words. And yet, I see so many people coming up with the name of their business is like an 8-word, a mouthful, or 4 words smashed together into a domain name, and it's hard to even read it in a domain name. And so I'm going to talk about that now. Now, I'm not going to give you all the answers, because the answers have already been written in a much deeper way than I could give you plagiarizing. And so I'm going to tell you where to get the answers on this. So I've already given you the answers in the first half of this for figuring out, you know, what is your unique angle. But for naming it, I'm going to point you in a direction. First thing I want to say is that you want to name it simply, memorably, and relevant. It should be simple, memorable, and relevant. Okay. I'm going to give you two books that will teach you everything you need to know about naming your business, naming your product, naming your website. The first book is called Microscript Rules by Bill Schley. Bill Schley, S-C-H-L-E-Y, Microscript Rules. Read the entire book from cover to cover and do everything he suggests. You'll probably have a name by the time you finish. If you need a little bit more help after reading his book, get the book The Star Principle by Richard Koch, K-O-C-H, The Star Principle, Richard Koch. It's a great book. You could read the whole thing. But for the naming principle, go to pages 142 to page 154. So The Star Principle, Richard Koch, pages 142 to 154. Okay, now, for some of you that have heard everything I've taught today about coming up with that unique angle, and you've had some aha moments, you've gone, wow, you shared with me some things I didn't know before, but at the same time you're thinking, can I study this a little deeper? I'm going to give you a few books to study this a little deeper, and I don't believe you need them. I believe I've given you what you need. But maybe you're the person that just really likes to go deep and you want to get all the nuances of what I've taught you. I want to give you a few books to read. The first one is How to Kill a Unicorn by Mark Payne. How to Kill a Unicorn by Mark Payne. Now, the book How to Kill a Unicorn by Mark Payne will go deep into different angles of the process that I've just given you. So it'll go deep into different angles of the process that I've just given you. He'll give you the psychology behind why some of these things work. And so I just believe that's a great introductory read when you're looking for different ways to be able to think about how you can come up with ideas that are different than what other people are teaching. You run-of-the-mill teaching, because that's so much of what's going on out there in the marketplaces. I mean, just it's literally run-of-the-mill teaching. Hey, the second book that I recommend that you read, I have to give you a warning about this book, and keep in mind this topic. You've probably heard some things from me today that even if you've been studying marketing for 10 years, you've never heard before. And I'm not saying that because I'm special or anything, but I am saying that because what I taught you today, what I shared with you today, it's just not common. It's the kind of information that you don't find and you don't hear unless most of the time you're in higher level consulting circles. The material that tends to be written about the topic tends to be more scholarly. It tends to be deep. And so it tends to not make itself into the mainstream, mainline marketing books out there, because the mainstream marketing books out there are designed for people to be able to read and to be able to read them quickly and for them to hit the top, you know, bestseller lists and all of that kind of thing. Okay, so I want to give you a book to read. It's got all the information in it, but it's a little thick. Okay, if you get my drift, it's a little difficult to read, and you're going to kind of plow through it, and you're going to get bored. But if you want more, this is the book, and that's Blue Ocean Shift by W. Chan Kim and Renee Mauborn. And that's Mauborgne, but just look up Blue Ocean Shift. Okay, now, of course, they came out with the Blue Ocean Theory, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and that was phenomenal. The drawback with the first Blue Ocean book is that it tells you what the problems are. It doesn't tell you how to solve them. Blue Ocean Shift talks about how to solve them and goes into greater detail on some of the things that I shared with you today. All right, so folks, with that said, let's go ahead we'll go ahead and wrap up our training today. I would encourage you, if you're looking for a unique angle, go through the exercises that I gave you today. Will it be hard work? Yes. Will it be challenging? Yes. Are there going to be all right answers? No. But if you'll dig in and do the research, you will find multiple ways to position yourself in your niche area where you can be not only perceived as the leader, but where you can also be perceived as being the person that is able to meet needs like nobody else is able to meet needs. And folks, when you're able to meet needs in such a way that nobody else is able to meet needs, you are going to be changing lives, you're going to change an industry, and then the profit can follow.